we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome back to the fourth week of our God of Fun series. Can you say God of Fun? God of Fun. In week one, we told you that God actually created fun. So if you don't think God is a God of fun, you need to rethink, because he actually creates fun. Week two, we told you that we need to rethink God's commands. God is not a buzzkill God. He's a God of fun. And God actually commands us to have fun, to celebrate, and to party. And I don't think that's something the church preaches enough. How about that? And then last week, we told you that God's promises are not punchlines. Do you remember that? You are not a punchline, and neither are God's promises. He made a promise to Sarah, and Sarah laughed. But God didn't laugh, because his promise was true. And God, when Sarah laughed at herself, God never laughed at Sarah. When you laugh at yourself, that is one joke that God never takes part in. He will never laugh at you, because his promises aren't a punchline, and you are not a punchline either. But that no good devil, he's the punchline. The one that's been lying to you, he's the punchline. And we're told that one day he's going to be on a chain and he's going to be brought out, and the whole world is going to see what a big joke he is. There is a punchline, but it's not you. It is your enemy. Today, I want to bring you just a kind of different kind of sermon, if you will. And I am going to entitle this, The Real Deal Lucille. Can you look at somebody and say, The Real Deal Lucille? You ever come across a colloquial or use a colloquial phrase and then people are like, I've never heard of that. What are you talking about? Like, I was with my dad yesterday and my wife yesterday, and I said, I'm preaching tomorrow on the real deal Lucille. And they're like, nobody says that. Nobody says that. What are you talking about? So if you say that, if you could just let me know, if you've ever heard that ever said outside of this room, it would really, I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm preaching, whether you've heard of it or not, I'm preaching to you about the real deal, Lucille. One more time, could you say the real deal, Lucille? I remember once I took my wife Sarah to a well-known all-you-can-eat buffet here in the Dallas Metroplex. I'm not going to name this buffet because I'm not going to be kind to them in a few moments. So that's grace right there. As we were finishing up our dinner, I looked over at the dessert section, because you got to look at the dessert section. Amen. Amen. That's the truth right there. There were several pies and cakes, and I was going to go pick one for Sarah. So I said, what do they have here that Sarah would like? And there I saw it. I saw her favorite kind of pie. Her favorite kind of pie is a key lime pie. Does anybody like key lime pie? You like key lime pie? I love key lime pie too. So I brought this key lime pie. I'm like overly excited about this key lime pie, because I'm like, I'm going to bring her. She's going to be so excited about this key lime pie. I'm going to bring it to her. So I take it to her and I say, guess what I found? I found key lime pie, and I set it down in front of her, and I'm just waiting. Like I'm like I cooked it or something, like cooked, baked, whatever you do with pies. I just knew she was going to love it. Sarah took one bite of this key lime pie, and she grabbed her mouth, and I heard her say, oh, that's not good. Oh, that's not good. That's what she said. I'll never forget it. It's indelible. And I'm like, it's not good. It's key lime pie, isn't it? She's like, I don't know what that is. That's what she said. So I then took a bite of this pie. Pie, let's use air quotes when we use it. Pie, right? And it tasted like cleaning chemicals, and he had the texture of Jell-O or something. It did not have pie texture. We decided that that was not really key lime pie. That was not the real deal, Lucille. Somebody say, the real deal, Lucille. Have you ever experienced something that wasn't the real thing? It may have been a copy, it may have been a knockoff, or a counterfeit. It was not legitimate, it was a cheap substitute. I would say it like this, it's not the real deal, Lucille. I want to make sure that everybody in here has experienced the real deal, Lucille, when it comes to key lime pie. We've got some key lime pie in the back, and we're going to be bringing it out to you. If you want some, you just let us know. We want you to get some real deal Lucille key lime pie. It's made by a friend of mine named Pamela Kinney. She's a pastry chef at the Omni Hotel in Dallas. It's going to be good, all right? If you're on a diet, it's okay. God will let you suspend your diet for this key lime pie. I have it on good authority, all right? I talked to him earlier. Eat up and enjoy the real deal. All right. Now, we're talking about fun in this series. So I want to be clear about what fun is. Maybe we need to clear up the idea of what is fun. I think that's important. We serve a God of fun, but we need to make sure that we understand what His fun is. Everybody said real fun. God's fun is the real deal. God's fun doesn't leave an aftertaste. When you experience God's fun, you don't put your hand to your mouth and go, "Oh, that's not good." God's fun is not nasty key lime pie. Can I get an amen? God's fun is not nasty key lime pie. I want to tell you some things. God's fun, the fun that God offers, is not lewd. It's not dirty, and it's not nasty. His fun does not hurt others. His fun doesn't break the law. His fun is not followed by guilt and shame. You know what I'm talking about? You ever do something that was fun, and then you were done with it, and you felt so guilty, and you felt the shame? God's fun is not followed by guilt and shame. God's fun does not leave you worse off than when you started. God's fun does not leave you worse off after the fun is done. I got to warn you today, beware of counterfeit key lime pie. Don't touch it. Put it away. Neither of us finished that pie. We left it right there. If you could call it, sorry, pie, air quotes. Beware of counterfeit key lime pie, but also I want to tell you, beware of counterfeit fun. Beware of counterfeit fun. When you Google God of Fun, it will bring up this guy, Dionysus. That's him holding the grapes right there in the back of that picture. He's also known as Bacchus. Have you ever heard of Bacchus? Have you ever heard of Dionysus? He is the Roman or the Greek god of fun. So when you search God of Fun, that's who comes up. Not our God, but this God. Oh, sorry, air quotes, God. And he is the what they call the God of Fun, or the God of Pleasure, or the God of Wine. That's why he's carrying around all these grapes, that he provides wine, and thereby he provides entertainment to people, and he provides pleasure to people. He supposedly provides happiness to people. This is what this false god's resume is filled with. The ancient world looked to this false god for fun. They would actually pray to this dude that they would have a good time. That's how they prayed. The world still looks to false gods for fun. The world still looks to things that are not real, like Dionysus and Bacchus. Prays to those things for fun. The world offers its own version of fun, but it's not the real deal, Lucille. Let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 11. This is a really amazing passage right here. 11, 24 through 25. This is the faith chapter. And there's all these heroes of faith mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. And here we're talking about Moses. Let's read verse 24, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. I want to draw your attention to those last words there. The fleeting pleasures of sin. Notice that Moses chose God's way over the fleeting pleasures of sin. So we need to learn this. Sin does have pleasure. we as Christians, we have tried sometimes to say, oh man, that sin you're interested in, it's not even fun. And the world goes, you're crazy, man. You're totally wrong. We're getting it wrong because sin does have a pleasure. Sin does have a fun. Sin does have a laughter. Sin does have these things, but they are fleeting and they are temporary and they only last for a season and then they are gone. So I want you to learn this. Counterfeit fun is fleeting. Counterfeit fun is not going to last. Can I tell you some things that are counterfeit fun? Sex outside of marriage. It's fleeting fun. The night after is filled with shame and guilt. You don't believe me? In the world, they even know this, that there is something called the walk of shame. They call it the walk of shame. It's when someone leaves that person's house wearing the same clothes that they wore the night before and they have to walk home. They call that the walk of shame. Sex outside of marriage is fleeting fun. When there's a baby coming outside of marriage, that is fleeting fun. When there are sexually transmitted diseases, that is fleeting fun. That is fun that is already gone. How about this one? Greedy materialism. That's some fleeting fun right there. Eventually, you know what? You get the credit card bill. Feeling better about yourself by putting others down is fleeting fun. Eventually, you will realize how empty and shallow you are, and you will wonder why you don't have any friends. Lying to avoid punishment is fleeting fun. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about because you may feel good in the moment that you got away with it. I got away with it. I'm not going to get in trouble. But guess what? One day all liars will stand before Jesus Christ and face judgment. Man, you didn't get away with it. Nobody gets away with it. Everybody's going to have to stand before the Lord one day. Lying is fleeting fun. Addictions like drugs, alcohol, pornography, they are fleeting. It's a fun that never lasts. There are many times that the moment after they are done, they say, why did I do that again? I wish I hadn't have done that. Where's the fun? It's all gone. It's gone because counterfeit fun, the fun that doesn't come from the Lord, is a fleeting fun. Counterfeit fun is fleeting. But God gives an everlasting joy. Somebody say everlasting joy. Hey, let's look one more time at our verse for this month. Wasn't that cool having a song to sing about it? Isaiah 51:11. Look at this. This is our memory verse. Learn it. Get it in your heart. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. The context of the scripture, because you got to know the context of scripture when you read a scripture. The context of the scripture is those that are exiled from Israel. Those that lost all they had. Those that were kicked out of their nation. Those that were forced to become slaves in another nation. Those people are going to return. Those people that experience hardship and struggle, God's going to redeem them and return them. God will redeem and return you. I don't know what struggle you're going through, but we serve a God who redeems and He returns. They are going to come back with what? With singing. They're going to come back with everlasting joy sitting on their head like a crown. That's what that language means right there. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. It's like a crown that they wear. They are known by their singing, and they are known by this everlasting joy that crowns the highest point of their being. I think Christians ought to be like that. What do you think? God gives us an everlasting joy. Are you experiencing an everlasting joy? Or are you experiencing fleeting pleasure of sin? All right, next, let's look at this. Counterfeit fun lies to you. Who likes being lied to? Oh my goodness. I have known people, and I have probably maybe even said this a time or two in my life. Maybe this resonates with you. There are some people that when you figure out they were lying to you, you say, man, I wish I'd never known that person. I wish I wouldn't have spent time with that person. I wish I wouldn't have given that person the time of day because they lied to me. Y'all following me? Counterfeit fun lies to you. Let's look at this verse. Maybe you know of this one, Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil. All right. The devil. We're talking about somebody who lies to you. Here we are. We're talking about the devil took him, that being Jesus, to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Verse 9. He says, all this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. All this I will give you. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, all their glorious splendor, if you will just right now bow down and worship me. The devil tells Jesus this, right? Newsflash. The devil, he lying. The devil's lying. Do you understand that the devil's lying through his very teeth right here? Absolutely. If he lied to Jesus, I got news for you. He lying to you. Look at somebody say, he lying to you. He lying to you. My goodness. When you find out somebody's lying to you, you say stuff like, I never again. I'm not going back to that person. No way. All they do is lie. I think it's that time that we got that way with the enemy, Satan. No more. Never again. I'm not going back. No more of your lies. My goodness, how come we do that to each other but not to him? I'm telling you that the devil was lying because this world was not his to give. He didn't create it. Satan has no splendor that he can give. Splendor comes from the Lord on high. He's actually talking to the only one that can give such splendor. He's talking to the only one that can actually give such a nation. He's talking to Jesus. Oh, Satan, not only you're a liar, you're a dumb liar, and you're a pretty bad liar. Amen. Just like he lied in the Garden of Eden, he lied to Jesus. And he'll lie to you too. The devil is called one thing. What am I going to say? He's called the father of lies. You know what he does create? Lies. He's the father of lies. He's not the father of the world. He didn't create the world. He's not the father of any truth. The only thing he created and brought into this world is lies. That's what he fathered. He's the father of lies. The devil is the father of counterfeit fun. This is like his entire playbook. It's a one-trick pony over and over again. Counterfeit fun lies, but God's fun is true fun. It's true fun. Are you glad that God tells you the truth? Yeah. Oh my goodness. When somebody tells you the truth, that's somebody you should listen to, right? At times, God's truth will confront you and show you how wrong you are, right? And that's not so pleasant. I've been through that. But if you will listen to the voice of truth, you'll also hear him say things like this. Romans 8:37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If you will listen to what the Lord says, yeah, it will convict you of your wrong, but it will be the truth. And if you will listen to him long enough, he will tell you the truth about the world around you. He'll tell you the truth about you. And he'll tell you the truth about how he feels about you. And once you hear all those things, that changes everything. I heard the truth about how God loves me. I heard the truth of how he wants to be with me. I heard the truth of how he's prepared a place to be with me for eternity. I've heard a truth that if I will commit my way to him, he'll give me all the desires of my heart. I heard the truth that he will give me strength when I need it. I heard the truth that he's got peace that calms storms. I heard the truth that he will forgive and he will heal all my sins. That's some truth. You want to get a load of God's truth because his truth is true fun. Yes. And if you could just get past the stinging moment of where he says, the truth about you and how you're doing wrong, if you can get past that and embrace him, you'll find the truth of how he really feels about you. What God says about you is the truth. He says you're more than conquerors because he loves you. It is impossible to really have fun when somebody's lying to you. You just thought you were having fun, but then you realize the reality that they were lying to you, and now you don't look back on any of those days. I have seen Facebook pages stripped of people that have lied to them. It's like, what happened to that person? What happened to all those pictures? I noticed they aren't friends anymore. They were lying to them. Totally removed. Because it's impossible to look back on those days like they were great days anymore. Because somebody was lying to them. Jesus is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life. He doesn't lie to you. I tell you what, if there is a counterfeit fun that you've been having, that you've been doing, it's lying to you. And you need to remove it like somebody you're mad at on Facebook. You need to unfriend it forever. You never need to go back to that counterfeit fun because it lies to you, but God gives you a true fun. Can somebody say amen if I'm saying it right?
Amen.
All right. I want to tell you this, that counterfeit fun is costly. Counterfeit fun is costly. It costs mankind dearly in the garden. The answer to every one of those questions of why did this bad thing happen? Why is there disease in the world? Why did those people lie? Why did someone have to die? All of that goes back to the counterfeit fun that happened in the garden that was costly. Mankind has been paying the price ever since. Know a guy named Samson in the Bible? He paid for counterfeit fun with his life, with his eyes, and with much pain and regret. King David, he wept bitter tears at his counterfeit fun with Bathsheba. Counterfeit fun will cause you to not fully count the cost. Like the parable of the half-built towers. Counterfeit fun will cause you to blow everything, like your savings, and destroy the most important relationships, just like the parable of the prodigal son. Oh my goodness, he woke up in a pig trough, realizing he'd been lied to. Counterfeit fun is costly, but I tell you what, God wants to counter that with this. God gives freely. Counterfeit fun is costly, but God gives freely. What are some things God gives? He gives joy.
Amen.
He gives a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. God has given you everything that you need to be happy right now in life. Now you pause, because that's one sentence of this sermon that you could easily gloss over, but that is the answer for many of us today. God has given you everything you need right now to be happy. You don't have to obtain one more thing to be happy. That job, whether you get it or not, it's not required for you to be happy right now. Your bank account, it doesn't have to change its shape at all for you to find happiness right now. You're looking for a boyfriend or girlfriend. Awesome, great. But guess what? You don't need to find a boyfriend or girlfriend to have happiness right now. God has given you everything that is required for you to be happy right now. Right now, that's a truth I think the world needs to hear. Oh my goodness, those people did not like my last Instagram picture. How can I go on living? Forget that. God has given you everything you need to be happy right now. I did this thing and no one complimented it. Let that go, let it go, let it go. Don't hold it back anymore. All right. No one? Oh, all right, sorry. Oh, I'm just frozen right now. All right. You don't have to obtain anything to have a blast in life. Some of you may think, if I can just get that new job, then we can start having fun. If I can just go to that party that my parents said I couldn't go to, if I could just find a way to sneak there, then we'd be having some fun. If I can just find that significant other, if I can just get that house, if I can get that car, here's the deal. Once you do one of those things, you'll realize you aren't happy yet, and you'll need to find another thing. In fact, I remember as a teenager, the devil tempted me time and time again with counterfeit fun. There was a party. Everybody was going to be getting rip-roaring drunk at this party. That's not what interested me at all. What interested me was, maybe people will like me if I go to this party. Oh, gosh. Dummy, stupid kid. Maybe people will like me if I show up at this party. I'll look impressive. And you know what? I didn't go to that party. But here's how I felt the enemy couched that argument. He couched it like this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, Chris. You got to go to that party right now. It doesn't matter what happens. If you sneak out and you get caught, it doesn't matter. You need to go to the party. Those are the kind of things the enemy said. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Somebody said, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I didn't go to that party, but guess what happened next Friday night? There's another once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go to a party, and then people will like you. No, it's not. That's what the enemy does, because he lies to you, and his lies are costly. And if you will listen to him for a moment, you'll be paying for it perhaps the rest of your life. There is a real deal, Lucille kind of joy. And it doesn't come from lying. It doesn't cost you a thing. It does not depend on your bank account or the number of Facebook friends you have. It comes from God. Have you had enough of the counterfeit? Are you ready for the real deal, Lucille? Can I tell you this? Jesus knows how to party. And I know some people that would scoff at such a thing being said. Oh, gosh, Christians think they know how to party. What is this about? For some reason, religious people have trouble thinking about Jesus being the life of the party. it seems out of place, doesn't it? In John chapter 2, we see Jesus at a party. It's a wedding party. Now, we as Americans don't really understand the Jewish wedding party system and what that is like. We're used to a wedding ceremony, and the shorter the better, and a short reception afterwards. You go drop off your gift and you say a little pleasantry and then you're out. That's how it works. Like the most grand affairs, they might have a dinner, like the sandwiches or something, or some fish or something like that. And then maybe a dance, and it could go on into the night. That's like the most grand affair of weddings in America. But a Jewish wedding party lasted 7 days. 7 days lasts a wedding party. We can't even comprehend that. It's like, what do you do for 7 days? What do you possibly do for 7 days? 7 days of feasting. You're gonna eat, all right? I'm listening. 7 days of dancing. I'm a terrible dancer. But 7 days of music, all right. I like 7 days of wine. And Jesus is at one of these parties in John chapter 2. And the 7 days of partying is afoot. That's what's happening. Now, I'd like to point out that in John chapter 2, we don't see Jesus preaching against parties. We don't read, and Jesus was at the wedding party and said, all of y'all need to straighten up. Get out your Bibles. He doesn't do that at this party. We don't see Christ protesting alcohol. Nope. Whoa, put that down, Simon Peter. No, you don't. Nope, that's not in there. There is no reference of Jesus telling anybody that they need to stop what they're doing. Nowhere. But Jesus is at the party. Can I just suggest to you that Jesus is definitely partying? Now, again, I'm telling you that his fun is not lewd. Remember that his fun doesn't weaken you or make you worse off. His fun doesn't leave any shame or regret. All that being said, can I just tell you, Jesus is partying. Jesus is the life of the party. He knows how to party. But then something happens at the party. Somebody who went to Sunday school as a kid, tell me what happened at this party. They ran out of wine on the third day. They're supposed to go 7 days. It ran out in the middle of the party. They are out of wine. All right? Right there in John chapter 2, Mary, which is Jesus' mother, asks Jesus to fix the problem. All right? And this is the place of Jesus' first recorded miracle. It's at a party. And Jesus turns what into what? He turns water into wine. All right. A party that was about to die. A party that was, oh no, we're out of wine. Oh no, I think this party's going to be shorter than we planned. A party that's about to die suddenly came back to life. Jesus is the reason the party came back to life. Can I tell you that Jesus is the life of the party? The party continued because of Jesus, but that's not all. Jesus just doesn't help the party go on. He makes the party better. The party was better after Jesus got involved. Look in John chapter 2, verse 10. One of the partygoers utters this. Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. Jesus doesn't just make wine, y'all. He makes the best wine, y'all. Y'all with me? He doesn't just bring life to the party. He makes it the best party ever. He doesn't just help you go on in life. He makes your life the best life ever. That's the God that we serve. That's how he shows up in John chapter 2. Listen, if you'll do that for a wedding party, why don't you think he'll do that for you? Why don't you think he'll give you the best life ever? He'll give you the best job ever. He'll give you the best marriage ever. He'll give you the best home ever. He'll give you the best. He'll give you the best. He creates the best and he gives the best. And he does it freely. Does anybody remember that part of the story where Jesus makes them tithe before he gives them the wine? Does anybody remember the story, the part of the story where he says, now you have to sing me a song and then I'll give this. No, you have to be sinless and then I'll give this. No, he gives it freely. That's our Jesus. Oh my goodness. He knows how to party, that Jesus. Jesus provides a wine that is better. Now let me key you in. They did bring the best wine that they had early. They didn't bring out the cheap stuff early. They brought the best stuff they had out early. But when you compared the best thing you can get on your own in this world to what Jesus can give you, you just go, whoa, this is the better stuff. This is the best thing. Sarah, was this key lime pie better than that other pie that we had the other time? It was so much better. You want to go back to that other restaurant and have that old pie? No? Oh my goodness. You see, I want to tell you that Jesus gives better. He gives the best. And we're talking about wine. Anybody, Bible scholars, know what wine is symbolized of in the scripture? Wine always symbolizes the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the wine. He says that he gives new wine. And that is the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives, the Bible says that Jesus is the one who gives us the Holy Spirit. It's better than anything you can get on your own. And it's better than anything you have ever experienced. That's our Jesus. He doesn't give you something counterfeit. He doesn't give you something that's a knockoff. He doesn't give you something that's going to fall apart. He gives you his eternal Spirit that's full of life, that's full of truth, that's full of joy, that's full of peace, that in every situation works. He gives that to you. Oh, he's good. Jesus shows up to a dead party and he revives it. He makes it better than it even was before. Here's maybe our problem with Jesus. We come to church and we go, listen, Jesus, can you just make my life as good as it was before? If you are praying that, you're missing out on prayer. You don't just pray, God, can you just make it as good as it was before? Because Jesus wants to make it better than it was before. No one wanted the old wine when Jesus showed up with his new wine. When you have experienced the real deal Lucille key lime pie, you're not going to go back for that old cleaning product, Jell-O, charlatan, whatever that was. That was straight from Hell's Kitchen. I just know it was. What Jesus gives us is so much more than what Dionysus, or Bacchus can give us. Those false gods of Rome and Greek. What Jesus gives us is so much better than what Satan can give us. What Jesus gives us is so much better than what the world can give us. And newsflash, what Jesus can give you today is so much better than what you can get on your own. When you have the real deal Lucille, counterfeits just won't do anymore. Redemption Church, can I tell you, we need a revival. We need a way. We need Jesus to show up to a dead party and make it better than it's ever been. We don't need this church to just retain its old past glory. We need Jesus to take us to a brand new glory. We don't need Jesus to just help you do the things you used to do. We need Jesus to take you where you are reaching brand new people. You are preaching brand new sermons. You are doing brand new things, Michelle. Greater things. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, greater things than all these shall you do. That's the kind of Jesus we're talking. Jesus looks them in the eye and says, you saw what I did? You're going to do greater things than that. That's what he said. That's what the man said. You heard him. We need Jesus to come revive our party. If you're living a lifeless life, if you're living a life that's like a party that's dying, you need Jesus to come revive your party. Yeah. Jesus, come revive my joy. Jesus, come revive my peace. God, Jesus, come revive my patience for my children. God, Jesus, please revive my faith. Revive it. Revive it. Your family needs Jesus to come revive your home. We need it. So I'm closing right here. We're about to be spending some time in prayer. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. Number one, we've worshiped God together. Number two, we've received the word of God together. Number three, we're about to be doing. I'm going to invite you to talk to God in this place. But before we do, I want to ask you this question. Have you been settling for counterfeits? Have you been settling for counterfeits? Have you been dreaming about doing some things that are actually sin, that are actually lewd, that actually leave you worse off than you were before? Have you been dreaming about getting into debt? Have you been dreaming about that? Have you been dreaming about counterfeit fun? Stop that. Repent from counterfeit fun today. And I'd ask you this too. Do you need Jesus to come bring some new wine to your party? Do you need Jesus to come to you and just leave you breathless and in awe and wonder, saying, I didn't know my life could be this good. Thank you, Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus has something better for you today? Some of you, I preach to you today and you're like, I'm happy already. I'm doing great. This sermon's not for me. Oh, I beg to differ. Wherever you are right now, do you believe Jesus even has better for you today? If you know about Redemption Church, you know these altars are open right now. Why don't you come? For you that don't know, I'm just going to tell you, we're going to spend the next few minutes in prayer. I'd invite you to take a step from your chair. And as you take that step from your chair today, I would like you to just make it your declaration that, Jesus, I want the best that you've got for me. Jesus, I'm done with the counterfeits. Jesus, you're the truth that I'm seeking. I want your life. I want your joy. I want you to be the life of my party. If you want special prayer in this place, I want you to come into the first 2 feet. That just lets us know that you want someone to pray with you. And we will come and we will pray with you. If you don't come into the first 2 feet, nobody's going to bother you. We want you to talk to God all on your own. Come on, let's talk to the Lord in this place. Father, I thank you for every person that's in this room. Lord, I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for their gifts. I thank you for their future, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are watching over them. Lord, Father, in Jesus' name, we come against the enemy that has a counterfeit joy. We come against the enemy who's been lying to us. Lord, in Jesus' name, and we proclaim that God is giving us freely in this moment. everything that we need. Father, in Jesus' name, touch every heart. If someone's in this house and needs healing, I pray healing for them. If someone in this place is depressed, God, I declare liberty for them, Father, in Jesus' name. If somebody's at a crossroads in their life and they're wondering which direction they need to go in life, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will lead them into the truth of what you've got for them. Father, we pray it all in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, come on.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.